Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 21 through 33. This will be the first of several messages out of this text. Well, actually, it's the second one. We already touched on it 2 weeks ago. But we're going to be talking about husbands and wives today. If you would, please follow along with me as I read Ephesians chapter 5 and starting in verse 21. Brothers and sisters, hear the words of the Lord. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands should love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, my friends, this is the fourth time in the 18 years that I've been here that I'm going to be talking specifically on this subject about husbands and wives and our relationship. Primarily, for us, there are three major texts that Paul and Peter have talked about this. The one we're looking at here in Ephesians chapter 5, and in starting in verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 9, is one place. And Paul specifically says this is in reference to the church and the believers, but then he uses the example of husbands and wives. The other place is also in Colossians chapter 3. And Paul says the same thing to the believers in Colossae in verses 18 through chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, also what's helpful to know is that Paul was not the only one that taught this. Also, the Apostle Peter taught this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. So there has always been this teaching within the believing church regarding the order of the way the Lord has made things. There are other passages which do speak about the husband and wife relationship, but they are scattered throughout Scripture, and they're not clumped in a big wad like that. You have to find a verse that's as in passing. As you know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Ephesians 5 text, and we looked specifically as in what is the responsibility of Christ, and what's the responsibility of the church to Christ? That's what he's talking about in these passages. But then he intermingles, Paul is intermingling, what's the responsibility of a wife and her husband? What's the responsibility of the husband and towards his wife, which is, Lord willing, next week? And then you have children towards their parents and parents towards their children, and then it's employees and employers. So this is, he's working this as a working example that even works to this day, 2,000 years later. And the reason we it started with, and his main example is, or his purpose in this, is found in Ephesians chapter 5. And follow along with me what he says in verse 32. He says where the Apostle Paul told us why he was writing about the spiritual relationship between the church and us. It's about him. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to who? What does it say there? It's referring to Christ and you and me, to the church, to believers. So he's trying to use something that's practical, a husband and a wife, kids, work, to get across what it's like to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're always under authority. And so, while we are seeing this, it's in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Peter wrote to the church that was in Turkey. That's 1 Peter. So this is a common teaching in the early church, and obviously it is still common today. And so what we're seeing that Paul was encouraging the faithful in the Lord to godly submission. It was to Christ, to the ladies to their husbands, guys to their wives, guys to their families, employers to their employees, employees to their employers, and our local church in our fellowshipping with one another. That's verse 21, 5:21. So please notice with me in our passage, I'll read it again, Ephesians chapter 5 and I'll, in verse 21. Notice that the word submit, or your translation may have subject, it's submit, four times is being mentioned. Notice in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He's talking to the body of believers, a local fellowship. In his case, he was writing to those believers in the city of Ephesus, in the church that he had started. The same is true when he did the one in Colossae, and Peter's also when he did his. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. And then notice down in verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything in their husbands. Now, what does the word submit mean? Because that's going to be the pinch point, isn't it? What's submitting? And the word, the Greek word mean here, yield to a recognized authority. The word that they're using, submit, means yield to a recognized authority. So if I'm in a workplace and there's a foreman on the job, the foreman says, John, you're going to run 200 feet up in those rafters today. What do I do? I submit to his authority. That or I drive home, don't I? You get the idea. Now, was he coming by and grabbing me by the nape of the neck or abusing me or something? No. You recognize that authority. And so, Christ is that authority. And so, as the bride of Christ, we bow to Christ's ultimate authority over us. When we hear the word spoken to us, we should respond by saying, yes, Lord. Now, what will happen is someone or something is whispering in your ear. They're saying, not so much. Well, who's whispering that in your ear? We must listen to the voice being proclaimed through the Word of God. We do this for a purpose. What's the purpose in verse 21? What's the last words? Why are we listening? It's reverence to Christ. You are saying, I am bowing my knee to Christ, in my daily life, as a husband, in my case, as a husband towards my wife, my children, my grandchildren, the place I work, I am bowing my knee to Christ. I am submitting to Christ. And so, it is out of reverence for Christ, verse 21, 5:21. And reverence here, the Greek word means having a deep respect for someone. So who do we have a deep respect for? The Lord Jesus Christ. So we obey his words because of our deep respect for him. In this case, you and I are being, I'll say, required to respect him, aren't we? Or are you just sort of, oh, well, Jesus is good when I need him? Ladies, this is where today's message is going to start with the wives. And this might be a hard pill to swallow. As we look at the scripture, we all know that Christ is our true husband. Yes, guys, he's our master. But while we are here on earth, the Lord has provided you ladies with a companion, a husband who has been given the responsibility by the Lord to love you and to watch out over you. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ is the husband of the church. And Christ is the head of the church. That's his body. That's us. Whom Christ is watching out over. In the same way, your husband has been given the responsibility to watch out over you by the Lord Jesus Christ. To love you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's his responsibility that is given by Christ to the man. With that biblical truth in mind, the Apostle Paul directs your attention to being obedient to Christ's lead over you as the bride of Christ. That example is now being carried out by the husband and the wife relationship, where the wife of Christ, the church, is following Christ. And so, a godly wife is to follow her godly husband and his lead. So, ladies, realize with me that nothing is outside of God's purview. And this thought may be hard to swallow. I'm going to pause here, and I don't have it in my notes. I also recognize that some ladies who are believers are married to non-believing men. What do you do? My biblical comment is you follow your husband's lead as long as he is not directly asking you to sin. So an example. I'll give a crude example. He wants to go out to a bar. He's going to go and sit at the bar and he's going to drink. You as his wife can go to the bar, you can sit alongside him and you can drink a Coke. If you prefer Pepsi Zero like I do, well, that's fine. Maybe it's a glass of water. That doesn't mean you have to get, what's the old term, stinking drunk? You don't have to get drunk with him. You get the idea? You're following your husband's lead. When we go to Peter later, you will win him over by your godly character that you don't follow in that kind of a lifestyle. You're with him, you have a respect for him, but that doesn't mean you need to participate in his sin, as in doing those same acts. Now, after me saying that, many of you ladies may have concerns regarding submission to your earthly husbands. So what does biblical submission actually mean? What does biblical submission actually mean? Well, all of us are still here in our earthly bodies, meaning we are still fighting against our own sinful nature and our sinful desires. We are fighting against Satan's lies and his influence in the world around us, such as, has God really said? And is that really what it means? Get the idea? That's the deception behind it. Sometimes it doesn't have to be so blatant that it has to slap you in the face like a wet towel. The fallen world in which we live in does not follow the Lord's lead. And it has taught us that we are free in every way imaginable. We are our own person. We have our own rights. And no one is going to take them away from us. For us today, what we're hearing today is an extreme example, is the woke movement that is going on. It's a great example of rebellion against God's rule, God's reign. It is the resurrection of an old second century error called Gnosticism. For those of you who like punching that in, it's G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M, Gnosticism. We put a special little sauce to it, but it's Gnosticism. It's a very large heretical error, and it was a movement in the second century Christian church, and it's sticking up its pimple head once again during our time. So how does biblical submission work, which the Apostle Paul was speaking about to the ladies in Ephesus and in Colossae? Obviously, there must have been some kind of concern going on within the church in Ephesus and also within the church at Colossae for the Apostle Paul to have mentioned it in his two letters. And also for the Apostle Paul to bring it up to the churches that were in Turkey, that his letter got passed around through what we consider Turkey. They knew it as Asia Minor. And so, well, the question really is, how well do you know the Word of God so that you do not balk at its truth from the Word of God? In comparison, what the earth dwellers are whispering into your ears. Do you see the problem? We have a constant noise coming all the time. A worldly philosophy, worldly doctrines, all the kind of stuff that they believe and trust. And we get it 24/7. You turn on the radio, you turn it on the TV, you look on the internet. Do you have more scripture in your mind than what's coming through the airwaves at you? Are you spiritually able to distinguish the difference, the moralism that the world is preaching, or the biblical truth that the scriptures are teaching? Are you able to discern the difference? So, if the word submit means yield to a recognized authority, as in the Ephesians 5:21, meaning every believer is to biblically think of other believers as more important than himself. That's from that Ephesians 5:21, because it's talking about the whole group. You're submitting to other believers. You're humbling yourself and helping them. But we dare not miss the context. And in fact, we were talking in Russ's class this morning that phrase that I had heard is, context is king. It means it comes first before all of our little ideas. I'm going to ask you to notice with me back in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, where it told us to be biblically wise. I'll read it. Listen, because now the biblical wisdom, do you and I know the Word of God well enough so that by the time we come to the subject now of husbands and wives and children and workplace and being the bride of Christ, do you know the difference? Do you know what's acceptable to the Lord or not? Well, listen to what he says. He prepares us Back in Ephesians 5, verse 15, notice what he says. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Did you just hear what Paul encouraged us with? He is going back to every believer understanding his or her accountability to the Lord using the Word of God as your standard. How well do you and I know the Word? And how well are you wisely using it as you and I run into the everyday stuff? That's our problem, isn't it? We are hearing noise all the time. In this particular case, in the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the word subject is used in reference to the wife. And the meaning of the word subject has not changed. The woman at the time of marriage is supposed to willingly subject or submit herself to her husband's recognized authority. That's biblical. The woman is intentionally relinquishing her rights to her husband, who is supposed to be, what is the guy supposed to be? A godly man. And that godly man is supposed to be under the authority, the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the non-believer does not accept as an authority over them. I will marry you as long as I love you. I will marry you as long as it is convenient for me. The world calls it being what? What are some of the terms you've heard it being called? I heard it being called a gold digger. That is why the Apostle Paul had mentioned to the believers in the city of Corinth regarding marriage, and I'll give you the passage for those of you who want to scribble it down. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's in verses 14 through 18. I will just read verse 14 for you. And it's for a believer not to marry unbelievers. Why? Why would you want to marry an unbeliever? Verse 14. This is 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are submitting to one another in marriage, and your husband or wife-to-be does not have Christ as their recognized greatest authority, you will be intentionally placing yourself into a potentially difficult situation. Being married to a non-believer can be potentially difficult after a while, the reason being after two different standards by which you will be living by, which the Apostle Paul attempts to describe as, what were some of the examples he gave in that passage, 2 Corinthians 6:14. The believer is living by a godly righteousness, and the non-believer is living in mankind's lawlessness. They're not following God's law. They're making up their own. He also called it light and darkness. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. And so, in the Ephesians 5:24, it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit in everything to their husbands. The word submit or subject is used once again in reference to the church, and it's in reference now to the ladies. We like it as in we, the church, are submitting to Christ, but do the ladies like it as in submitting to my husband's leadership? This has to do with idea. The idea is there was a lordship salvation, which Christ is now ruling over you. And this is where the believer is willfully submitting to the Lord's leadership, meaning they will obey Christ in everything that his word reveals to them. As a body of believers, we were to relinquish our rights to the Lord Jesus Christ. We like that, don't we? I'll follow Christ. He's leading me. He's guiding me. So, are we here at WBC listening to Christ? Are we as individual believers listening to Christ? In this act of submission, the church is showing their great love for the Lord. In this act of personal submission, you should be showing your great act of love for the Lord. So if you're following in context the Apostle Paul's reasoning, the wife is showing her great love for the Lord through submission. The husband is showing his great love for the Lord through submission. And the church is showing its great love for the Lord through submission. And when they are not submitting according to the scriptures, they're showing their disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ through their, and Paul used the word, lawlessness. And actually saying Jesus Christ, what they're saying, and even though they don't say it out loud, Jesus Christ is not Lord of my life. I'm Lord of my own life. And we all know where that started from. That goes all the way back to Genesis 3:17. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree that I commanded you, you shall not eat. Eve was intentionally deceived by Satan. Adam listened to the deception which Eve had passed on to him. And the issue here is not Eve's deception. The issue here is Adam did not listen to the voice of God. He was responsible. And so, the command that Adam was given is found back in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall surely die. Who was the one that disobeyed? It was Adam. And he was leading his wife, who was deceived by the noise of the day. My friends, this was not just a suggestion. Adam did not listen. He did not submit to the Lord. Adam did not consider the Lord's authority. Adam did not take the spiritual lead in that particular temptation. Adam faltered in his leadership position. Adam was responsible to watch out over Eve. Adam faltered in his responsibilities to God first and to his wife Eve. What's the first commandment? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your closest neighbor? Your spouse. My friends, the order of authority has not changed from the time in the garden. Worldly wisdom has deceived men and women of this world since the beginning. Worldly wisdom tells men and women alike that they are free agents. No one will rule over me. I am my own person. I have a free will. No, you don't have a free will. Your free will is in bondage to sin. It is free. It's free only to sin, not to be obedient to God. In your fallen state, your free will is not free. It is free to fall. I saw an example 30 years ago, and this was the example. It was done by my beloved wife. We were having a discussion with a Sunday school teacher. And he was saying, I'm free. And I watched my wife do this. I'm going to set this book free. What did it do? It fell, didn't it? Where, was it going to levitate? It wasn't free to levitate or rise. It fell. That's what happened to mankind. Which means we, natural man, is not free, but only deceived and blinded by Satan's schemes and lies. I'm going to give you a verse for that. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Here, the Apostle Paul is talking to believers in Corinth, and they're having problems. And Paul writes them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, and he says this, "In their case, the God of this world has," and he says, "blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Non-believers do not listen to the word of God. They simply do not acknowledge its authority. They simply do not acknowledge God of the scriptures. They may say, 'Yes, I do,' but their actions speak louder than words." Just read through the Old Testament prophets regarding the religious leaders of their day. How about Jeremiah, for one example? He says, what are the religious leaders doing? They're going through the motions, but we're going to go into captivity because of their ungodliness. But they were the religious leaders. They were not listening to the word of God. There's a problem that comes with this. This kind of thinking has a result on believers. Believers are constantly being bombarded by the world's foolish thinking, which disregards God's truth. The non-believer twists the word of God, if they use it at all, potentially confusing the immature believer. So where is the one place that this confusion shows up? I'll use an example that Paul was using. In marriage. A girl accepts the offer of marriage from a guy whom she loves. At the wedding ceremony, the father, who is legally responsible for the care of his daughter until the age of consent, ceremonially hands off his daughter to the groom at the wedding. I've watched this happen once or twice, by the way. Showing a transfer of guardianship of the girl to the husband-to-be. Meaning the girl has been submissive to her father's care and recognized authority, and now the girl is being submissive to her husband-to-be recognized authority. At the wedding ceremony, the girl acknowledges the transfer of authority from her father to the man whom she loves. If the new couple knows it or not, they're acknowledging the order which God has set in place. Submission to the Father in heaven, the Son of the Lord, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission to the whole work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Submission to the husband in the Godhead. The husband has the submission of the Godhead. The submission of the wife to her husband. The submission of the children to their parents. The submission of the employer, as Paul goes on in his story, to the care of his employees. And then the submission of the employee to the employer to do as he has directed them. So in our passage, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ladies, the Lord has put in place a chain of authority, a biblical chain of command. And that authority starts with the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ over all of our lives. Christ is the head of his household, the church. The wife sees her husband is under the authority of Christ and that he is not just a loose cannon doing whatever he pleases. So when she marries the godly man, she is under his godly care as unto the Lord. Now, the woman does not need to accept the proposal of any man. Her submission is voluntary to the man of her dreams. So when she does accept the proposal of submitting to that man's authority and entering into the marital relationship, she is accepting the headship of her husband and is submitting to her God-given role as a wife, a God-given companion whom she's going to join with. Marriage is a godly institution. It has been passed down since creation. And godly women will desire to live up to godly standards because believers biblically understand that they are actually married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the final rule of authority in their life, as in being married to Him while we are waiting to go home. Now, our passage doesn't end there. Just as the wife is to submit to her husband as to the Lord, that does not give the husband the right to act like a monster around the house and abuse his godly sister in the Lord. In fact, the husband is the one who is responsible to set a high and holy standard in his home for his wife and his children. Just as in the garden, Adam was supposed to lead by listening to the voice of the Lord, the husband and wife are supposed to be listening to the voice of the Lord. I have an example for that, and it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Christ is the good shepherd. I'll read verses 3 through 5. This is John 10, and I'll start reading in verse 3. It says, to him, which is Jesus Christ, it says, the gatekeeper opens. The gatekeeper is Genesis 3:24, the angel of the Lord. The sheep hear his voice, that's Jesus Christ's voice, and he calls his sheep by name, means he, and leads them out. And that means he's leading you out of this fallen world. In verse 4, John 10:4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know his voice. The husband is supposed to be passing on God-given lifestyle to his wife and his family. He is supposed to be listening to the voice of God as he's reading the Word of God, sharing it to his lifelong partner. What the wife who is not submitting is actually being disobedient to the Lord. But the woman who submits to her godly man, I don't believe has a difficult time following a godly man because she recognizes that he loves her and that he lives to take care of her. Now, the problem we run into is the abuses. That's the problem. The godly wife understands that God has put in place a chain of authority, and that authority starts in the lordship of Jesus Christ over her husband. That's the Ephesians 5:22, as unto the Lord. And when the woman sees and experiences that the man is a God-fearing man, not just doing and saying whatever he desires, the wife sees and feels how godly her husband is toward her. She will feel and know that she is being protected by her husband under the hand of the Lord. In our next verses, which we will do next week, Lord willing, in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27, men are given five things to do in their role as godly husbands. The five things are drawn from the Lord Jesus Christ's actions towards his bride, the church, which a godly man is supposed to follow. I like something that put the fear of God in me years ago, and that was in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. If I don't follow them, Peter says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That put the fear of God in me. So, in Ephesians 5:33, however, let each of you, that's husbands, love your wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband for being a godly man. Ladies, may the Lord bless you in your godly endeavors as unto the Lord. Men, we have a great responsibility before the face of God to encourage our wife in the Lord. And Lord willing, next week, can I lovingly say, I'm going to pick on you guys. So let's end in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have. Just to muse over your word, the things that you have left behind. We are not lawless. We are not just free agents. We are your children. We hear your voice. Help us as we follow you so that we won't be those sheep that are wandering off, getting stuck in the weeds. Oh, dear Lord, we ask that your Spirit will continue to lead us and guide us, give us the help, the hope, the strength, the encouragement that is needed each and every single day. We love you, and we know that you love us. And in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.